Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde of Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. The Survivor Specialist Film Will are back, and we are recapping Survivor 47, episode number 3. The internet, you poor, poor thing, is broken. The internet is going to be going through it this week, Will. Asia, the beloved RHAP podcast, which I guess is just rap, right? I'm supposed to be saying rap, not RHAP, my entire life.
Well, maybe RHAP.
Is it? People say rap sometimes and it confuses me. Anyway, Asia is gone. Voted out, third person out. For the first time in Survivor history, all three tribes go to tribal council, like 1, 2, 3. We had never seen that before, where the first three tribal councils were all different tribes. So this is pretty fascinating, and that's pretty exciting. And man, I just did not see this coming. The way everything was stacked, I think in my power rankings this week, I did them with Carl. I didn't have Asia that low. I mean, were you shocked by this outcome, or does it make total sense to you?
I don't know if I was shocked by it. I will say it doesn't feel like the correct move whatsoever. And I think there's a number of misplays tonight. More misplays than I made than when drafting my fantasy roster. I've now had three straight people. The only three people eliminated from this season have all been on my fantasy.
Wait, you had Asia so, too?
Yeah, I had Asia, TJ, and John, and I had Genevieve. So I was kind of losing someone anyway. I was thinking maybe there's an outside chance of Saul taking the hit tonight, as Kyle would put it, and then I'd be okay, and I'd still. But I've half my team gone here, and we are only through three episodes, so that might be the worst part of it all. But no,
and your winner pick is gone.
Oh yeah, winner pick's gone. There's not. I don't really have any hope left. Hopefully, the prop bet and the over under game are kinder to me. But I really thought this was a big misplay from both Teeny and Keyshawn and that side of things, and from Asia once she heard what was going on and where the vote was going. So I'll first talk through Teeny's decision, because I am putting it on Teeny. I know she voted Saul. I think that might have been a shot in the dark defense. I don't know if you want to talk about that, because she did vote for Saul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah. She did vote for Saul, but why don't you go through your point first, and then I think we'll have that, because it'll come up.
Yeah, If this is what we're being told, and hey, what we're being told might not be true, but if it is a 4-2 split on this tribe with Genevieve and Rome on one side, and then you have the numbers of the other four people with Saul, Asia, Keyshawn, and Teeny. And if you're Teeny in this situation, okay, Rome has all these advantages. He has an idol that you know is only good for one tribal, by the way. You're not like under any false pretense that this is a real idol that's going to last in the game. And okay, he has a steal vote, which you know about too. You know where those things are, and he's being very forthright and honest with you. I don't see why you don't just put it on Genevieve, because then you know that idol is gone. You know that Rome cannot use the idol next week, and then it is 4-1 against Rome. And yeah, he has an extra vote, but then you still have it 3-2. And you can get Rome out even if he takes one of your votes, and he has no one to work with. He's on a literal island because he's in Fiji, but he's on a figurative island once he loses Genevieve. And I think that would have been a much easier vote to pull off. So there's that. I also think maybe I'll save it. Let me get your thoughts on that first part before I start rambling too much.
So here's my thing. I actually think it was the right move. I think getting rid of Asia here makes sense. Jordan Alford actually puts this up. Once she started to push back on voting out Saul, I kind of started to understand it. Like, you're at the bottom, beggars can't be choosers. I don't think she realized she was on the bottom. So that's not the point here that I think it is. But I do agree with him. Once she started to push back, I think what that signaled to Keyshawn and Teeny is Rome is spilling information to them. Rome, once Teeny and Keyshawn were caught red-handed last week, Rome, instead of being pissed off about that and going against it, he's now telling them everything. He tells them, hey, I just got this steal a vote. And the thing is, let's be real here. Like, we love Rome on this podcast. Like, he's been listening to us. He sent us the cameo. Like, I love Rome. He is an aggressive personality. And that is not going to mesh well with the other tribes come merge time, which could hurt in bringing people in. But he is a really, really good shield. And Asia, if you let her get her feet in this game, that could be really dangerous. And I think what scared Keyshawn and Teeny was when they said, we want to vote this way. And Asia kept saying, nope, nope, nope. I think they said to themselves, ooh, I don't know if she's actually going to be as willing to work with us as we originally thought. This could be problematic. And guess what? That got her vote. I think that's what got her voted out of the game. And I will also say, at the tribal council, when she says, if you don't vote the way that I'm saying, blah, 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 that is so not hidden in its meaning. And it's so obviously directed at Teeny. You can't go back to camp with Saul gone and Asia there. Because if you do, Asia's not going to trust you and she's going to vote you off. Like she's not going to trust you at all. So I think that this was the right move.
Yeah, I think we're both correct in this. But for my thinking was that they wanted to push this move on to Saul before they even considered saying, hey, let's just put it all on Genevieve. Like they had already thought through this. And so I think you are right. That is ultimately why Asia goes home, is because she was pushing back on the shift to push it over to Saul. But they were already going that direction before they had confronted Asia about this. And I think the initial right move, because we've seen Teeny and Asia have a very good working relationship. They trust each other. They want to work together. Like they actually have a pretty solid four-person alliance of mm-hmm. level-headed thinkers and strategists. And it's a pretty unique survivor story. I don't know if we've seen one before where we have kind of an overconfident player who thinks he's in control or she's in control and totally isn't. But then this person also has so many advantages and other powers in the game where usually you see this person fall flat on their face. There's been a number of times we've seen this. I mean, Drew Christie is probably number one, a master manipulator of this game. We saw Zane even kind of pull similar tactics. Even TK last week, a little bit of this flavor of like being super overconfident, thinking you have it all figured out, calling other people out for not having things figured out. Like, hey, Sue, have you even had any other conversations? Are you even strategizing? Mm-hmm. We see this come up a lot. We have never seen this happen where the player is just locked and loaded with advantages and can't be voted out. And I think in this situation, you, instead of gravitating towards that and moving forward with that type of player, I would sooner try to just weaken one of his numbers. And I would go after Genevieve. And then, like I already said, I already spelled out the scenario of how this thing works next week. If you do get Genevieve out, there is no idol for Rome. So he loses so much of his power. And one steal a vote is a four against a one. Doesn't really hurt you at all. Of course, sure, he could find something else. But guess what? You also have four people against his one. So if you're all looking at the same time, there you go. What is that, an 80% chance that you're going to find it and not Rome? So I think you'd rather keep your stronger foursome together. And now everything's pretty fractured because Asia's gone. Saul is probably got wind that he was going to get. I mean, he read Rome like a book. Like, it feels like I'm totally going home and Rome's trying to make me feel safe. You don't really trust Rome at all to begin with. So what power do you now have? So I still think I understand why, hey, if Asia was playing too hard, trying to make her own moves when she didn't have kind of, you know, she wasn't in a spot to be telling people where to vote. But I would have, if I were Teeny and Keyshawn, I would have absolutely tried to keep our four strong together and take out Genevieve.
Sorry, it's the core four. It's the core four, Will. He called it the core four, which was such a slip up. That was a big slip up on Keyshawn's part at Tribal Council to call it the core four, because Asia's sitting there going, well, wait a second. Who's the fourth? It shouldn't be Rome and it shouldn't be Genevieve. And it's certainly not Saul. You were just talking about voting Saul out of the game. So what the hell? Okay. I think, you know what I think the problem with this is? I don't think there's actually a correct answer. Like, I think you're right. But when I look at it from their perspective, if you're Keyshawn and Teeny, Rome and Genevieve aren't going to be able to get in with anybody on other tribes, which again, could
I think
be
Genevieve
good.
Could, but I think she's the person you should vote out in this situation.
Yeah. See, I think, yeah, they might be looking too far ahead, but I think right now, like, let's say you lose the next one. Saul is obviously going home. Goodbye. Don't need him. You lose the one after that. Guess what? Genevieve's probably going, or Rome is going. I know Rome still has a steal a vote and everything like that, but Rome feels so good right now with Teeny. I honestly, he's talking about how Genevieve is his number one or whatever. We were hinted at that tonight. I think that Rome thinks Tini is his number one because giving Tini all the information. So what it feels like to me, this is what it feels like to me. This feels like Shan and Ricard with JD and Jeannie, where it's like Keyshawn and Tini are Shan and Ricard. And hopefully they end better than they start, you know, because, you know, the ending for those two wasn't great. But I feel like they are playing that type of game. And JD is the Rome and Jeannie is the Genevieve. And those two are going to fracture at some point, or the wool's just going to get pulled over their eyes. And if Keyshawn and Tini keep losing with this Labo tribe, they will still be the last two remaining people from that tribe. Whereas if you keep Asia here and vote off Genevieve, Rome's an easy vote next time. Now, granted, you got the steal a vote. Maybe Rome feels some kind of way about that. And he says, you know what? I'm coming after you hard, Tini. And granted, like you said, it could be 3-2, but a lot can change in Survivor. Now Genevieve goes home. Let's say Rome goes home the next time. How are you split in Asia and Saul? I don't think it's as easy. So that's just my opinion.
I don't know. I feel like if you had, you know, looped, which you try to loop Asia in, I think if you keep Asia around, she has nowhere else to go. And Tini and Asia clearly had a good working relationship before all, you know, before they lost the challenge and realized that Rome wasn't an available target. And I think those three could probably get something going. And if Genevieve's gone, it's probably Rome and Saul are the next two boots. But, you know, hard to play that far down the road. I also hear, Phil, I was waiting for this. I mean, half of me was watching this episode being like, oh my gosh, Rome is so over the top. He's so confident that maybe he's like, maybe Rome's the winner of this. Like maybe we are in for something very unique. And then when Saul says he's like the worst Survivor player ever, or maybe he's just the best Survivor player ever. And like, this is such, like I already said, it's such a unique flavor of this type of character. St. Cliffo, thank you, Will Spitting Facts.
I just want you to know that I put that up there, everybody. I put that up. It wasn't even Will. Like, I actually gave Will credit for once.
But, okay, this was my fan fiction going on in the back of my head, that usually when these characters that you come across them, you can – they're pretty gullible, and if you just fan the ego and tell them they're in control, maybe you can pull one over on them. And I thought there was some world where Tini goes, hey, like – I mean, obviously, you don't need your idol tonight. Maybe we hold on to it and it's we use it as a fake on somebody down the line. We'll have this great fake idol. It looks like the real thing. We have a note. Like, we can do something with it. I mean, there's no way you need to play it, obviously. We're the core four over here. Something to that extent where you convince Rome not to play it and then throw votes on Rome. I was kind of expecting that. And I actually wanted to see an attempt at that. Because if someone is playing so aggressively and is dictating where all the votes are going and just has this much power and is preventing you from playing your game, I feel like even if you're taking a risk, I don't know. I want to see people combat that or try to make a move against it, even though you're kind of fighting an uphill battle. There might have been some wiggle room there in terms of like getting Rome to not play that idol. You could even convince him like, hey, play an idol on yourself when you don't need to. That's kind of a bad look. That might hurt your resume. I don't know. Like really anything
well.
Like that.
No, he handled it too well. And the fact that it was a one tribal idol,
that's like what made it tough too.
Up there, he's just saying, guys, I'm playing this. I trust everybody, but it's a one tribal idol. I actually thought he put in a nice little hint here for everybody not named Tini and Keyshawn and maybe Genevieve. Who knows? It might have just only been for Saul. But he says, I went on this, I got a perfectly timed journey, which got me an idol, but it's only good for one tribal council. So now if he hasn't spilled to you about the fact that he found this steal a vote, you think, okay, he lied to me about the lose a vote, but he just played the one idol he got. Poor Saul is just living his Survivor nightmare being stuck on an island with this guy.
Yeah, that was a really nice touch that like, yeah, I actually didn't lose my vote. I got an idol, even though he already had the idol and now can hide behind his, you know, he has a reason for the steal a vote. So I think we've broken down that tribe. I mean, I think we could talk about Asia. Like if you're in that situation and at this point you're fully aware that like your allies are even telling you Rome has all this stuff. He's got all these advantages. Yes, we want him gone. Yes, he should be the obvious first boot of this tribe. We just can't make that happen. And we can't piss him off. We can't take out Genevieve. And so we're coming to you saying we got to go Saul. Like that's it. You got to roll with that and say, you know what? That sucks. but we got to do it. Like, that's your
her
only
pushing
option.
Back on that. Absolutely, I think buried her. I think that was the end because they said, "Ooh, she's going to be a little bit pushy," and you know what? It's like you have to be saying to yourself, "Rome cannot win this season right now." Because here's the deal: like if you're playing, if you're Teeny or if you're Keyshawn, you don't think Rome can win. Because guess what? The other people on that tribe do not, they're not voting for Rome to win right now based on how he's been around them. So I'm just saying, like, things can change in Survivor. And granted, by episode 3, Tony was a gigantic asshole. Nobody thought that guy had a chance in hell of winning his season. He was the buffoon going and doing his spy shacks before the season. He's talking about jumping off with 20-story buildings or whatever the hell he said in his pregame press. He's a Jersey City firefighter. So all of a sudden, that means he's jumping from rooftop to rooftop. It's like, what are we, in a Disney movie? Like, what are we talking about? And yet, he wins the season. So you never know how it's going to shake out. But I do think that with how much information Rome was spilling, and how Asia got a little bit of power there, got a little bit of information and said, ooh, I'm going to push against this. I think that really just set off red flags for Teeny and Keyshawn. Because at the end of the day, Asia wants to be in control and Asia knows when she's in control. Rome wants to be in control and he does not realize that they are letting him look like he's in control. And I think that is, if you're playing the game and you can play it well and you're willing to just shut the hell up and take Rome, I think Rome is the easier person to play with down the line.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think Rome is going to make it difficult to ingratiate yourself into other tribes. Or you use them as, like you said, like decoy or a shield or something. But, I mean, especially with the amount of advantages he's already found in, we're what, like 8 days, 7 or 8
he
days.
He said 6 days. Game. He already found 2 advantages.
Yeah. You know, he's going to be, I mean, there's even in the preview of next week, it seems like he's babysitting Saul in an idol hunt. You know, he's going balls to the Saul looking for idols. Well, I know Blake's not on this one. I had to do that one to Blake. So.
He would have been so proud of you.
Yeah. No, it's like, that's a dangerous person to keep around, I think, Phil.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just trying to get both sides because I honestly do think there's logic to both sides of this. Like, this move happening, Teeny or Keyshawn could still win the game. And if they voted out Genevieve tonight, Teeny or Keyshawn could still win the game. So
yes. I like their chances more, though, if Genevieve's gone and it's 4-1 United against Rome, who only has 1 steal vote. I feel better about that.
There's Blake. He's here. He's still watching. Even when he's not podcasting, he can't get enough. He said he's going to do an escape room. Clearly, he can't even escape this podcast. He's just here all the time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I'm just going to real quick. Everybody, like this video, subscribe to the channel. Please do all that stuff. I haven't been doing that, and we haven't gotten followers. Who would have thought, right? So please do that. Also, if you go over onto, like, what is it? Apple Music or whatever the hell it is. I used to be iTunes.
That's podcast. Come on.
Yeah, it's just podcast. I just feel like an idiot. Simple. So Spotify. Podcast or Spotify, if you could leave us reviews or ratings, that would be really helpful because that helps get us in the algorithm that gets more people listening. So please do that. And yeah, that's all that stuff. I just wanted to get out of there very quickly. But more importantly, let's get back into this episode and let's talk about the journey because I want to talk about the journey.
Are we calling it a journey? It never said journey.
No, they literally said the word journey here.
Not in the note. The players did.
You know what's funny about this, man? It's like you're going to cling on to that all season when this is what the definition of a journey has been. And last week's was like the most 50-50 situation. And I counted it anyway. Like, okay, that's the funniest part.
I'm just saying it was literally people going off on a boat somewhere. That's... like, when has that not been a journey? Jeff never said journey this episode, I don't think. Maybe he said it at tribal, but the note just said choose someone to go on a boat. It wasn't like after a challenge, it said pick someone to go on a journey. I'm just saying. You leave your camp with someone from another tribe, it's a damn journey.
Do you want to talk about the journey now, Bill, or you want to make your point? You want to get off your soapbox, buddy? You want to jump off? You ready?
I just want to be clear.
I just want to make sure, you know, don't worry about this.
Well, this is what I want to say. I mean, this is a great comment here from Big Show Gano.
I do not.
We like the forced gameplay. I hate the journey. Yeah, that's the problem with it.
Mm-hmm. I hate it. I've said this before because they did this. What season did they most recently do this? Was it 44 or was it 43 where they made them play? It was recent. I don't think it was last season though.
I mean, 46 in the premiere, one player was told he has to basically lie to two other people right off the bat.
Well, yeah, but they did this exact same thing. You're right. With Jelinski, you're right. But they did this exact same thing that we saw tonight a couple seasons ago, 44, Matt B. Yeah, so Matt lost two votes. That's exactly what it was. And that makes me really annoyed. It's aggravating because I'm okay. You should always have a choice. You always have a choice in Survivor. That is my opinion. The players are playing the game. I don't tune into Survivor to be like, what's production got up their sleeve tonight? No, I'm tuning in to find out who's going to vote off who, what challenges. Yeah, that's production. But still, what challenge are they going to run? What's going to be the gameplay? What characters am I going to fall in love with? This is stupid. And you're forcing, like somebody like Kyle. Let's look at Kyle as the example. Comes out of a shit situation. Immediately sits down, starts talking to people, and starts to ingratiate himself with everybody except for Sue, who's like, Kyle died on June 13th. He's never coming back to life. He's been dead. But he's doing a good job. He pulls the stick, and I get that you could sit there and say, oh, well, you know, you put yourself in a position to potentially go. You could talk yourself out of it, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. He pulls the stick. He goes. He is then told you must pull even though you have a 2/3 chance of it being bad. He's in such a bad spot. I get that it's not the most exciting TV because like last season we saw that with, I forget who it was, but we see them say, I need my vote too much. I'm not going to do it. I wash my hands of this. I don't care. But the thing is, when you have psychos, and I mean that in a very nice way, like Rome playing this game, he is always going to go for it. Know your cast and feel confident that you have 10 to 12 people who are going to play not the game as aggressively as Rome, but who are going to play the game aggressively enough that they will do this whether you put the gun to their head or not. And I hate the gun to your head thing so much because it's like Kyle cannot make the best decision for his game. In fact, he had three decisions to make tonight. I think he made the worst decision for his game because once you lose the first vote, you might not get another tribal council after that. So just pull the damn thing because you might be screwed because you are on the wrong side of things. But I hate this. I absolutely hate it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know if I hate it as much as you do. I am with you, though. I don't like when players are forced to play these types of games. I think you should always have a choice. That being said, devil's advocate here, and you kind of mentioned it. You kind of just swept it under the rug. But how many? I mean, we have one tribe with six people, two tribes with five people. It just says someone on the boat. Now, if your tribe is like, let's draw straws or let's play rock, paper, scissors, is there a world where you can say, hey, like, I really don't want to go. I got a terrible night's sleep. I don't want to do a bumpy boat ride. Like, I know one of you guys are a bigger fan of the show. Like, you just want to go. Like, I don't want to do this. I think that every player has a chance to make that kind of argument or story about whatever the reason is. And yeah, maybe, hey, it puts a weird target on your back. But I don't know. I feel like it puts a bigger target on your back when you actually do go on the journey, even if you do win by rock, paper, scissors or drawing sticks or something. So I will say that, like, these players are on a tribe where no one is forcing one of these players specifically to go. Like, if Kyle doesn't want to go, and maybe, hey, maybe Kyle's one of these players that really doesn't know enough about the game, doesn't know that this, you know, journeys are really, they're risky. Like, you end up going to a journey and you lose your vote more often than you come back with an idol. At least that's kind of the way I've kind of I don't know, calculating it in my head quickly over the past seven seasons of the show. Maybe doesn't know that, but I do think it's on the players that if you are in a position where losing your vote is going to be very, very bad for your game, a huge negative impact when you're going to lose a vote, make sure you're not the one on your tribe going on a journey. And that's a little bit on them.
No, it is a little bit on them. I don't disagree with that. And that's actually a good devil's advocate point to this. And I feel like if Jeff Probst was sitting across from me talking, that's what I think he would say. If you want to have your decision, well, your decision is whether you get on that boat or you don't get on the boat. That is the decision of the survivor player. Once you get on that boat, though, all decisions are taken away from you. But I just think ultimatums in Survivor are stupid. That's just my opinion. That's my take. I don't think they've ever worked. I think that ultimatums on Survivor are dumb. The players having choices. The conversation should always be, what would you have done? Would you have voted out Asia, Genevieve, or Saul tonight? Would you have reached in and pulled that if you were in Kyle's situation, or would you not have? That's what we should be having the conversation of. And that, to me, didn't, like, when you do this, you take away the fun part of Survivor, which is, wow, would I have done the same thing if I was in that position? And that stinks.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no equivocating on what.
Hey, Alan says that's a great point, Will.
I take one night off and I'm back.
Everybody's just like, holy shit, who's this guy? My God.
0-3 on fantasy, though. So
you are, yeah. I mean, you can't pick a fantasy. I hope that somebody tried to replicate your team, which unfortunately did. You are in debt. You were in dead last coming into this week.
I couldn't have done any worse, you know? This is the worst you could do, going 0-3.
Oh, my God. So. Yeah, so I just don't like this. But here's what I will say. Kyle made the worst decision he could have made. You are in a position where you just lost TK. And I know this is going to get into the whole... What is it? The Benny Hill? It's not Benny Hill, but you know what I'm talking about. The problem. The
Monty Hall.
Monty Hall. Thank you. Benny Hill's the...
This is not Monty Hall at all, Phil.
It's not Monty Hall. Okay, good. Nope. Well, good. That makes me even happier because...
Monty Hall is about...
Oh, because you can change your box. That's right.
The host having knowledge that influences the odds. There's no influencing the odds here. The odds stay consistent. It's 1 in 3 to get an idol, and then it goes to 1 in 2.
That's the best explanation of Monty Hall anybody's given, and people have been trying to explain it to me since season 41, where it's the host is influencing. I don't know why people haven't said that.
The number one thing with Monty Hall is, out of three things, and this is the do or die situation, if you grab incorrectly and switch, you will always be saved. If you grab incorrectly at the start, and there's a 2 out of 3 chance of grabbing incorrectly at the start. So if you switch, you're going to be safe. So that's a basically 66% chance if you switch, you're going to win. If you grab correctly and switch, you're always going to lose. But there's only 1 in 3 chance you're going to
do
correctly. Okay. That's the quickest explanation.
So yeah, I totally forgot about that. But here's my thing. Kyle reaches in and he pulls out, lose a vote. He is in a situation where he just lost his closest ally. He's having confessionals because he just had this conversation with Sue where he's like, I'm giving Sue information and she doesn't care. He knows Sue and Caroline are tight. He doesn't trust Gabe. He wants to get Gabe out of the game. The only person he can trust is Tiana, and Tiana has zero agency and just flipped on him the previous episode. He goes, he pulls out the wrong thing. He can't vote at the next tribal council. This could be a 4-0 vote, buddy. Like, what are we doing? This could be a 4-0 vote. You have to reach back in there and do it. There might not be another tribal council. And if you pull that advantage, especially, we don't know if they were all steal a vote. I'm assuming they probably were, but who knows?
Probably.
He pulls a steal a vote. He actually now wins.
Who knows? There might have been different items in there.
Anika's to me made sense.
Because they went to
she's in a good spot, but
they went to three different paths. So I don't know. I think they could have been different. Because what if you get all three people pulling it? And they all get
that is true. And they do say choose your own path.
Right. So the path might be different. It was knowledge is power in one of those. You know, I love some knowledge is power.
Somebody was gonna get a super idol.
How does that work, Phil? Talk to me through this. And I think there's some clerical stuff we have to figure out. If Kyle loses a vote and then pulls a steal a vote. He still can't use that steal a vote, though, because it said the card, you cannot cast any votes at the next tribal council.
So what the thing was is if you lose a vote and then you reach in and pull advantage, you get the advantage, but don't lose your vote.
Oh, then yeah, Kyle.
If you reach in and lose a vote and then don't do anything, you lose your vote for one tribal. If you reach in, lose a vote, then reach in again and lose a vote, you lose it for two tribals.
Yeah,
so that's the rub, right? But if he pulls advantage, he keeps his vote.
Oh, wow. So that then 100% you're going again.
100%. And that's where like over here with Anika, Alan says, I understand Anika's thought process saying no. I agree with that because Anika thinks that she's in a 4-1 advantage on her tribe. So it doesn't make a difference in her mind whether she has a vote or not, because Andy is going home at the next tribal council. She feels really good about her relationship with Rachel and her relationship with Sierra. And even if she doesn't feel super good about Sam, Sam's going to be in with them just because of the Sierra and Rachel connection. So she's feeling good about her spot. She doesn't need her vote at the next tribal in her mind. And then at the following tribal, she will need her vote. So hold on to your vote, you know, just lose one. But with Kyle, you got to be going for this. You have to be going for this.
Yeah. 100%.
100%. 100%. My God. They got to do another season of that show. Anyway, so that's where all of this went. And of course, Rome reaches in. And the funny part is we don't even get to see Rome lose a vote the first time to see like what he can do, like what his decision will be, because we all know what it would be, but it would just be nice to have it reassured. And he just reaches in and pulls out advantage. It's like, this guy, dude, he's got like the angel just sitting right here. He has an idol. He has to steal a vote.
I know.
And now he's in the dominant alliance on that tribe.
I know. That's why I really enjoyed this episode. It's just such a, it's not something you often get from Survivor, where like, it's like this player is like hijacking your tribe. Like, you should be the first boot of your tribe. And Rome, we love you. I mean, amazing TV so far.
Incredible.
But it should be a 5-1 vote against Rome. I don't even know if Genevieve is really on his side. Like, we don't know that. And maybe that's why some of my thinking on how they should have, you know, voted and planned maybe was wrong. Maybe they feel like they can work with Genevieve. I don't know. I don't know where she's at. Good for her though, looking for an advantage. I mean, a lot of screen time on that bench, saying goodbye to the Flint too.
I really did actually enjoy that. I think Genevieve actually, she's the only person on the season without a confessional in an episode. But she's been getting some, actually Tiana didn't have one tonight, but she's been getting some content here. And I appreciate, like, it's funny. Her sitting over there doing what she was doing, she's playing the game. And I like how subtle she was about it. She's not like, oh, what's going on over here? She's just like, I guess there's nothing here. This sucks. But that's how you have to be going with Survivor. And if anybody was questioning, does Genevieve know the game? Clearly she knows what's going on. She probably asked to sit out of that challenge. Because there's really no reason Keyshawn should have done that challenge. Like, let's be real. If he can't swim, he shouldn't have done it.
You got to believe in yourself.
You got to believe in yourself. Do I need to pull it out? Do we need the flag? Do we need the flag again?
I don't understand. I know Survivor's gotten cheesy, and I know we had the Suri balance beam and game changers, and like, that was, oh my God, that was 13 seasons ago. I mean, that's crazy. So it's been a while of the cheese from Jeff, but this one felt like, why are we putting Keyshawn in if he can't swim and it's an entirely swimming leg that he's doing and not even really working on the puzzle? He didn't do the puzzle, did he? Or was
no.
he?
Maybe no, that, he did. No, he did. It was okay. Him in Asia, right? It was him in Asia.
Okay. So maybe that would make sense. Like, hey, I'm just really good at puzzles. I do know how to swim. This doesn't seem that difficult. That's the real answer. And I think we, like, I don't know, as reality TV fans, we're into the reality of it all. We like the real. Maybe Genevieve wanted an advantage or idol. That's why she volunteered to sit out. I don't know. The reasoning definitely was because I need to believe in myself. Like, that's not the real reason.
Yeah. No, I totally
agree. That's just a fake cheese reason.
No. And like, I guess what confuses me is like, if you want to win this challenge, I understand he's good at the puzzle, but you might not get to the puzzle in this challenge if he's so bad at the, and he honestly wasn't terrible at swimming.
You know, I don't want to say it's like riding a bike, but swimming is, once you learn how to do it,
it's just more dangerous.
You know how to do it. And I mean, I don't know, you know that Survivor is building these challenges and not like the most dangerous of places in the middle of the ocean. So
yeah, there it is. I just wanted to make sure we all saw it this way. Will,
if Butch, that's right.
If you maybe that's why.
Maybe his favorite season was Amazon, and he wanted to give us an Amazon reference to the new era. And Keyshawn wanted to play.
What makes me really sad is that tonight we saw everybody from season 46 get voted out without playing their idol. But when we're talking about believing yourself, we don't see Butch putting up his flag and giving everybody the pep talk. That just makes me sad. It does. Mm-hmm. Anyway. I don't think this made sense. I mean, once they said Keyshawn was participating in the challenge, I was like, they're done. Mr. Manny, didn't that burn though? It absolutely did.
Yeah, because Butch collected way too much firewood and overloaded it So there was so much firewood too close to the fire, and it caught on fire, and the whole thing burnt down.
I guess this is a good time to plug Every Season Matters, right? If you want to be a patron, we just finished Palau. We're finishing Palau on Monday. So get in there and listen, and you can go back and listen to all the old episodes too. We do a whole 8 episodes about
it. We do 8 episodes on every season. So
we've done 80 episodes as of today.
Yeah, and it's all on there.
Yeah, it's all there. You can go back and get it all. You can get it all. Michael Wilde says Keyshawn is working for the Sia money since he doesn't know it's been stopped at this point.
Maybe that's it. That's a better explanation than maybe anything I've come up with. But I'm gonna. Yeah. I don't know how to swim very well, so we're gonna take someone who does know how to swim and sit them out because I want to believe in myself.
Sure. Let's talk about this, Alan. One of the funniest scenes tonight was Saul and Rome arguing about going first. How does Saul keep it together as well as he did? And also, like, why was there such confrontation about who should go first on this?
This was actually a great point. I don't think we would have brought this up if this comment hadn't come through, because I love when they show the strategizing scenes before, and there's usually a very like pointed reason at why they do it. And it's foreshadowing something. I mean, we can all remember why is Game Changers getting so many references tonight? But the one with Debbie and Brad in Game Changers is like an iconic scene from a pretty lackluster season, but very funny. And like discussing roles and who's going to do what. And here I thought for sure Rome was going to say, I got to go first. I got to, like, he's again, aggressive, confident, a little cocky, but what ends up happening, Phil, and this is when I started this thinking in my head, like, wait a second, this is different. We're getting a different version of this character. I know I keep repeating myself, but Rome absolutely crushes it. It's like your expectations were going to be something was going to go wrong, and we're going to flash back to this scene, and it's going to be like, man, you really should have let Saul go first. Saul killed it. You struggled. Rome did a very good job on that.
He said he would jump to the buoy, and he made it to the buoy.
He did. He jumped to the buoy. He did it. I think maybe he fell once on the balance beam or something, but hey, it's a balance beam floating in the ocean.
You're soaking wet. Like,
yeah, I don't know if that's like those balance beams can be difficult. So, a little cocky. From Captain Obvious. I mean,
look, we also had Rome talking about how he was so happy TK went home because he was arrogant and he didn't like his cockiness. So,
yeah.
But I think, like...
But that's what I mean. We've gotten so much of that you're just waiting for the downfall. Like, when's the downfall coming? That's how we've always, you know, that's how these stories have always played out. And, hey, Rome just keeps... He got the advantage. He killed in the challenge. He got the alliance. Everything's coming up Rome still. So maybe this ends differently.
I mean, he was great in the challenge. And, you know, we were poking fun and stuff earlier where it was like, oh, here he is. Like, you know, he's going to be so good at the challenge. He's going to win 4 immunities. He's going to do all this great stuff. And like, he was great at the challenge. Now he lost to Kyle. He did lose to Kyle, but he put his tribe in a position to win. Like, he really did. And honestly, Saul was good at it too. Like, they were both good. I think what was interesting about the argument that happened was, what was the benefit to going first as opposed to just going at any other time? Like, there really was no difference.
So it was the buoy. It was that you had to dive down
a little bit deeper, but
and pull a buoy instead of untying it on the balance beam. And honestly, having done, you know, Survivor challenges before, pulling the buoy is, it's not that deep. To me, that would be easier than trying to untie something while you're standing up, bending over in the middle of the ocean. My balance isn't that strong, but I guess it's just whether you're... I mean, and then you saw people had to crawl down on their hands and knees on this piece of wood, and it's bouncing up and down. You're untying
and
little knots.
Their feet can't touch the water, and they're like, what, 6 inches off?
Yeah, and then some of them were like using the buoy with their hands and like floating it across and kind of holding onto it. It was a little, yeah. But just pulling the lever and the buoy popping up, sometimes there's like weird pressure down there. But if it's a clip, you just unclip it and pull it down and it will float up. That to me is the easier. Maybe that's what Rome was thinking. Like, I want to do the first part so I look good, I look cool, I get my phase done easily because I know if I'm on the balance beam, I'm going to screw it up. Maybe that was it.
I mean, he's also very comfortable in the water. And I think what his goal at this point is to be the water guy. We see him earlier in the episode doing the stuff with the Hawaiian sling. He's catching fish. Somebody, I think it was Brian Scally or it was Ryan Kaiser. It was one of those two. They said, they put the picture of Parvati in the house, just squinting. And it was like, when you're trying to see the fish that Rome caught, cause they were just so tiny. But, I think like he's comfortable in the water. He knows what he's doing. He's good. Maybe he just kind of wants to continue to be that guy and not give anybody else a chance to prove themselves. Maybe that's what he's going for. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm thinking too much into it.
But I know. I mean, that's clearly
a game plan.
That's clearly the case with the Hawaiian sling. And we've seen this on a couple other seasons of Survivor. Phil, I know you did not enjoy All Stars. I thoroughly enjoyed All Stars because of how many funny moments there were in it. Obviously, there's some, you know, darker moments as well. But the highs of that season are very high and very funny. And one of them is Rupert catching a lot of fish with a Hawaiian sling and then people then taking it out on their own and being like, hey, this isn't that hard. Like, this is really easy. And Rupert going, I'm kind of out of here. This was my main thing. And I think there is a little bit of that with Rome here that he wants to be the provider. And if he lets anyone else use the Hawaiian sling and they catch more fish or bigger fish, then his value in the tribe goes down. So definitely.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I did enjoy that he ate two of the fish. I thought that was funny. Like, you know, 100%. Again, yeah, we have Mr. Manny saying they said they didn't want to cast villains anymore. This is what I think is funny. There was that huge outcry when they said they didn't want to cast villains. How much fun is Rome? Like, Rome sitting there lounging, the hat falling off his head, smiling at you while he's talking shit. Excuse me, Asia, you think I'm going to give you any of this food? Like, I am loving it. It is so funny. Jordan Alford, I live for that level of pettiness. Like, it's so funny, but he's not a bad guy. And that's what Survivor meant when they said they didn't want to cast villains. He's not a bad guy, but he's out of it. He's insane out there. And it's great.
I've been on record saying this. I don't know if I've really clarified it on the podcast, maybe on a Patreon podcast or two, Phil. We do a lot of those. Again, we're plugging the Patreon.
Gotta keep
That when Jeff says no villains, it's that I think he really, what he means is that, like you said, bad, like no, like actual, like bad people or assholes that are going to make people's lives miserable, but that the show at this point, it's hard to be a villain because being like, just playing the game hard is inherently villainous. And I don't think Jeff wants to label those people as villains. So if you're laughing at people in your confessional when you outwit them and outplay them, or you know where an advantage is, or you steal someone's vote, or like any of the things Jesse did that were very villainous in season 43, you're not looking at that player so much as a villain, or maybe Jeff's not. But I think that's the distinction there, that it's like modern Survivor gameplay is inherently villainous and we don't need to label these people as villains. So that's kind of where I stand on all that.
I agree. They're not going to cast Ben anymore. And I don't mean Drybergen. I mean, from season 19, like that guy's not getting cast, but like Rome is harmless. Like I'm sure if you were out there with him, you'd want to
harmless push him into the ocean. Ask Asia if Rome
I'm
is
just
harmless.
Saying, no, that's what I mean though. Like he's playing the game, but he's not going to like be so rude. I mean, although next week we see him and Saul getting pissed at each other. You know what though? Good. I'm happy. Let's do good. It. I'm all about it.
I like when people get pissed at camp life. There's not, I mean, when we're watching the older seasons, it's definitely something that you look at, man, like I miss this. I miss this tribe conflict at camp. And we had a great scene. We've literally all we talked about is Lavo, it feels like, but should we hop over to, we gotta hop over to the Gata tribe.
We haven't talked about Gata at all.
And there's a nice,
and he's the king of the island.
Is he the king?
I don't know, kind of. I mean, Annika and Sam are fighting and he's flipping his hair in the background.
Oh, he's smiling the whole time too, because it seems like he's trying to play in his confessional. He's giving us the impression that he's trying to play it off cool. But then they cut to him while the scene's happening. He's looking at them and he's looking at them and just smiling the whole time. That's like, oh my gosh, I finally got my crack here. Which, hey, he is right about it. I mean, at this point, Gata does feel like it is completely a 3-2 split with Sierra, Sam, and Andy against Annika and Rachel. That's how
I'd go as far as to say. I'd go as far as to say it's 4-1. I think Annika is going to go home in a unanimous vote when she goes home.
Yeah, I mean, Rachel is getting sheltered from this. Mm-hmm. It's all Rachel, the negativity is getting poured onto Annika. However, when Sam and Annika were fighting, you're hearing it from Sam's perspective. and why Annika is being so annoying. But then at the end of the scene, Annika's like, cut this rope, and then Sam just starts whacking at it. Well, I mean, that was intense. Like, what are you gonna stab or something?
Move your hand up like, a little bit, Annika. That's what it was looking like.
And then Annika's like, just saw it, and then he cuts it easily. And it's like, you kind of leave that interaction being like, hey, maybe Annika is maybe right about this, and we're just seeing that Sam's getting annoyed that Annika is correct and not so much in her desires. I don't know. Here's I would say. And actually, that's what I like, and this is what I've told you. Sorry to keep ranting, but I love it when, and this happens in scripted TV too, when you like are presented with a scene and it's not obvious like whose side you're supposed to be on. Like, whose side are you on? Like, Annika knew how to cut the machete. So I like that stuff. I can't. Go ahead.
I was going to say, to me, it feels like Annika's really not that bad. Annika is like a totally normal person who, again, just like says what she thinks and says, you know, and it, she has been right. I think you're right. But in the game of Survivor, Sam is going to go further than her. So the edit's like, okay, we're still going to show Annika as being like, I think most people came out of that scene saying Annika was the annoying one. But right. I do think that there's enough people who are saying, what's Sam up to? But if you're looking at like, look, if you're looking at what the RHAP fact checker, Rob's fact checker on X, he every week, I don't know if it's a he or a she, but every week puts out a ranking of like voted by the fans of what percentage of popularity each person is. Sam was the most popular coming into this week. Rome was the least popular coming into this week. And he just killed the dreams of the internet's darling. So I'm sure he's going to go to 0%. But the point is, people are loving Sam so much, and that's coming across in the edit. And I think what we saw tonight, most people who already loved Sam are going, yeah, I still love Sam.
Of course.
It's kind of like if you go all the way back to Panama, it's kind of like once you started to like Terry, you didn't care what the Kasaya 6 were saying to him because you liked Terry. But if you never liked Terry, you were always going to side with the Kasaya 6. That's kind of what it feels like with Sam here. There's going to be more who agree with Sam, even if some of the other people are right. Plus, it's like him and Sierra are kind of endearing. Like the conversation they were having about, what do you mean? Like, what, we're a couple, like I'm engaged. He's talking about his fiance and blah, blah, blah. Like, I think Sam and Sierra are endearing. I think that Andy is starting to get the comeback at it, even though I think he's still going to lose. And then I think that Rachel is just kind of being sheltered. Cause I think, honestly, I think the only person remaining who's going to go home from this tribe is Annika.
Before the merge. No, Rachel looks like she's in a good spot somehow, even though the numbers don't tell us that.
I agree.
What about what do you think of Sam never having pineapple or watermelon or
what eggplant? Does this guy eat? Just chicken fingers and french fries? Like, I don't understand. Which is a great life.
I mean, like Phil, I feel like
he's 24 years old. That's
comparison
actually
to your diet a little bit.
My diet until 2 years ago. Absolutely. I mean, you got to see what I would eat. I mean, I was a disaster. But yeah, I mean, he's jacked. I don't know.
I think maybe that's it, because you're a cross country superstar, Phil. And I think maybe if you're someone who works out all the time when you're younger, you don't even think about what you're eating, and you can eat the most delicious foods that are not good for you and not healthy, but because you're so active that it's okay. And so he hasn't really gotten into fruit and vegetables yet, but he still looks good.
When I was in high school, they do, I don't know if you knew about like the Heisman, Wendy's used to put on like this Heisman thing for student athletes in high school. And so like you would like progress through your state, and then you could get to the national level. And I made it to like the semifinals of the state level, and every level you went up, it was just a bigger gift card to Wendy's. So here I am as a senior in high school running like sub 16 minute 5Ks, eating like $200 worth of Wendy's in the matter of like a month, because it was, yeah, of course I'm going to go to Wendy's and I'm going to take all my friends with me. So I get this. I'm just like, are you averse to fruit?
He took both your friends. That's so generous of you.
I did. Well, I mean, look, that's why I got so many trips out of it. It was great. But like the weird thing was like, okay, broccolini is fine. Broccolini is like because here's the thing. Broccolini is a very like specific to either a type of restaurant or locations around the country. Broccolini was not big in New Jersey. I didn't know what broccolini was until I went to LA. We didn't eat broccolini. Now there's broccolini in New Jersey, but it wasn't.
At least broccolini is related to broccoli, and it's just baby. It's baby broccoli.
Yeah, because we used to eat broccoli Rob. That's what we always ate. We didn't eat broccolini. It was like you'd go for that instead.
Very similar. Yeah.
Yeah, they're very similar. So like that one I understand, but like a pineapple or a watermelon, And then that also,
that's what's crazy. I think because there's no way, you're right, broccolini is a little bit more obscure and some of the other things that like radishes or beets or something. I mean, sure. I don't know. Because he even said, yeah, like I see watermelon at barbecues and I just haven't never done it, never tried it. It's almost like he's afraid of the big juicy red fruit. And like, I mean, he hasn't even tried it. So
he's engaged to be married. Like his life, he's about to be married. He's never eaten this stuff. Like that blows my mind.
It is crazy. Where is he from?
Tennessee, isn't he? He's a Titans reporter, so I don't know.
Titans reporter doesn't mean he's a...
He might not be like officially from Tennessee, but I'm just like, yeah, I'm floored. That was really funny scene though. And like, also we're not seeing Sam and Sierra when they get to the challenges, why everybody else would think that like they're dating and stuff. But when he hit her with the, isn't that your favorite? And she was like, yeah, it is my favorite. I was like, oh God, dude, these two got chemistry. Like something's going on here. Like I'm thinking the same thing, like something as simple as that. It's not what you say. It's how you say it. And the way he said that, Sam would not ask me if watermelon was my favorite the same way he asked Sierra if watermelon was her favorite. That's all I'm going to say. So I thought they had a little chemistry there too. But yeah, man. I mean, if you can bond over not eating watermelon, good for you.
Couldn't be me. I eat watermelon.
I eat watermelon. I mean, I don't know what fruits I haven't had.
I do think watermelon probably a little overrated though as a fruit.
I ate it today.
Really? I feel like it's associated with summer and 4th of July. And I think the association of watermelon is better than the actual taste and enjoyment you get out of watermelon. Like you have watermelon at good places and good times. You have fond memories of when you were eating watermelon because you were with friends in the summer and at a pool or at a lake or whatever, wherever you were. But I don't know if it's that great of a fruit. I think maybe the artificial flavor of watermelon is better than
might be better. Watermelon. No, I agree. Yeah. I don't disagree.
I mean, if you like a White Claw or like a High Noon watermelon is like one of the best flavors, but in terms of the actual fruit,
I like how you go artificial with alcohol. Like it wasn't like, oh, I like watermelon lollipops.
I mean, Jolly Ranchers, watermelon Jolly Ranchers. I'm just thinking of like artificial watermelon flavor is better because when you do take a bite into a watermelon, it doesn't have as much flavor as the artificial one would. And then it's just, falls apart because there's so much water in it. So maybe Sam's not missing out.
Maybe he's not, man. Maybe he's
not. But do you think he's had artificial watermelon flavored things?
I can almost guarantee it. I can almost guarantee that he has. Alan says right here, watermelon Airheads rule. I'm sure he's had that or some
better than watermelon
beverage. Yeah. No, watermelon's fine. I eat it sometimes. It was also, like you said, summer vibes. It was 93 degrees today here in South Florida. So, you know, happy October, everybody. Here we are. Best month. Become a patron. You'll hear all about why it's the best month. Look, I got my Creature from the Black Lagoon shirt on, man. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to rage. Let's do it. Yeah, that's a nice shirt.
Or October.
I love October. Let's do it. All right. Do we have anything else, or should I jump into some like confessionals and things
should
like that?
Talk about the Tuku tribe, which should we call them the Uu tribe?
That's what I said last week. Look at us, dude. I made that same joke last week and Blake
good job.
Himself. I know.
Well, that was for Blake. I thought, okay, so that joke was already made.
Yeah. That was too easy. I think we were the only ones who made it though. But anyway, the Uu tribe. Caroline is super pumped that this vote went down, and that was the only confessional she had. Sue seems bitter. She's not going to ever forgive Kyle, she said. And then we also have Tiana got nothing, which is really bad for her coming off of last episode. We don't get to hear from her about
how she feels. Was like the swing vote.
She was the swing. So that's kind of crazy. Kyle was the star this week. He got the most confessionals. He also went on the journey, so that makes sense. But like, do we think that they're all going to actually go after Gabe? Do we think Kyle's pitch makes sense as to why they should go for Gabe?
This reminds me of a tribe that like isn't going to travel before a swap or a merge. That's kind of the vibes I'm getting, because like it should be so obviously Kyle, but we kind of got endeared to him tonight.
We did.
Yeah. We did.
And honestly, like
weird not to hear from Tiana. Yeah. Is that how you say it?
Tiana, yeah. And the thing is with Kyle, I really like Kyle, but he is not, when you're talking like you're cutting over to Rome and Rome is like leaning and doing all this crazy shit, and then you cut to Kyle and he's like, I don't really know what's going on. Like, he's
not slowly talking.
Yeah, he's not the biggest personality. So for him to get as much as he got, and for me to come out liking him as much as I did, they're showing the good parts of Kyle. And I think Kyle's going to come out of this okay. It's just a matter of, do we think it's going to be Tiana who goes home, or do we think it's going to be Gabe who goes home? Because I think if Sue pushed to get Kyle out of the game, I actually think Gabe and Tiana would probably protect Kyle, which is really funny because Kyle's pretty much choosing between those two people to send. Although he did say tonight he would never vote Tiana out of the game, even though Tiana just stabbed him. So I don't know.
Yeah, Kyle doesn't seem to be putting all the pieces together. But I think Gabe's in a pretty good spot. It didn't seem like anything Kyle said landed with Sue or Caroline. So, yeah. I think Caroline, Sue, Gabe, that's the three, and then it will be between Kyle or Tiana who goes home. If that tribe loses,
I think Tiana would go home.
I think we're gonna see the yellow tribe go back.
Mm-hmm. Jay Burn Aquatic says, first season, how long we've had 1-1-1 lose. No, this is the first season ever. This is the first season ever. Yeah, so that the Tuku tribe had the least going on. I think it was a settle. You were right. It was like they might not go to another tribal, whatever. We didn't see anybody actually looking for idols, which I thought was interesting because Gabe did play his idol. So we didn't have any idol talk though on that tribe.
That's true. He did play, and there was nothing back there. Only 11% chance of that happening, where you get a 1-1-1
because it's 33 times 33, right?
Well, actually, it's only 1/3 times 1/3 because no matter what in the first challenge, you're going to get at least one team that goes, and it doesn't matter. It can be any three of them. So it's just the next. It has to be. Actually, you know what? That's wrong. I did the math wrong. It's two over three times one over three. And what does that give us? That gives us 22% chance. Oh, my gosh. So that's weird we haven't had it with all the three tribe starts with a 22% chance.
I think that's – but the basic math on that is it's a 22% chance, but it's not taking into account human errors such as voting out the wrong person first, right, from
true.
Your tribe.
True. It's not taking into account tribe strength or anything like that.
Yeah. It's not taking into account attributes. Let's talk confessional counts real quick because I think this is good. Rome somehow did not hit 10 tonight. He has now had 2 episodes of 9 and 1 episode of 3. I don't know how he didn't get 10 tonight. He had the most by far. Teeny had 6. Kyle had 6. Asia also had 6 in her boot episode. Asia ends with 20 confessionals and goes home. Saul and Genevieve are 4 and 3 right now total, but Saul's had 1 in every episode. Sue with 13. That's a lot. Teeny with 13 total. Sam has 23. He went 3, 16, 4. Andy at 16, Annika 12. The whole yellow tribe is getting stuff every week. Everybody from there. I just think that's pretty interesting. They're really focusing on them, despite the fact that now 2 weeks in a row, we haven't seen them go. So I just thought that was worth pointing out. We have not hit any of our over-unders yet on this season. Although we did have Q and Boston Rob both mentioned tonight. And I'll tell you what, looks like backstories are gone. It looks like montages are done. And Survivor has moved on from montages. We have not gotten one in the first 3 episodes of the show.
Was there not any of them in the premiere?
There has not been a single backstory montage. Oh, Zach. Oh, Kyle got one. That's right.
I could have sworn that we had at least 1 or 2.
Kyle is the only one, though. So we're literally at 1. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
It's crazy. So yeah, I just thought that was worth pointing out. We did have 3 idols already found. We have the over-under set at 6.5. So that one might be coming soon. Who knows? And yeah, that was really it. In terms of prop bet, Asia got a confessional in every episode she was in. We did not have anybody cry. Nobody has been shown crying on this season yet.
Shed an actual tear.
Yeah. Asia also got 5 or fewer votes. And Genevieve got the sit out. So now we've had Genevieve, Keyshawn, or not Keyshawn. Who's the other one who sat out? I forget who it is. I have it written down somewhere, so I'll grab those. But yeah, we haven't, nobody's even hit 2 times.
Oh, Asia sat out.
Asia sat out. That's right. And now the thing is, though, that makes this even more interesting is nobody will be sitting out next week. So we might not have anybody hit this.
Wow.
Yeah. And I guess we can count tonight. Kyle lost his vote. And
did Andy never cry? This is a good point here. Wait, no, this one. Maybe nobody has cried, but we had whatever Andy
didn't
did.
Cry. He just had are a panic-ish.
Are we sure he didn't cry?
He didn't cry. There was no
tears. I feel like I heard him sniffling.
No, you didn't see a physical tear. Go back
you
and
need
watch
to see, it. See the actual tear.
Jeff had a black shirt in tonight's episode. Has he had any in the first two? Do you know?
I think this was his second black shirt. We've definitely seen at least one. I think the opening he had a black shirt. I don't really remember last episode because I watched that like 2 days after it aired. I couldn't do it. So.
Yeah. Well, so Annika and Kyle both lose their vote because they are going to lose their vote. And Jeff actually had the episode title. Bummer. It was Belly of the Beast. Yeah.
Good job for Jeff.
Yeah.
How many is that? He get one or two a season? Is that pretty consistent, or pretty is this consistent. A bigger?
I think like one or two is about right for young Jeffrey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Anything else from this episode? I got a lot of guests coming up.
Okay. Well, tell me.
So tomorrow night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, I will be live with the one and only A+ Survivor game player, Bradley Clyhe. And me and him are going to be doing Digging
Deep. When is that?
Tomorrow, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. You coming?
Tomorrow, 9:30 p.m. Can I come on that? I want to talk to Bradley.
Dude, that's fine with me. The more the merrier. Let's chat with Bradley. That'll be fun.
What's our Digging Deeper topic?
We have to figure that out. And honestly, when we have a guest, I normally just keep like hitting questions and we just don't do a recap. That's really what I do. So,
okay. We'll have to think about it. Maybe it's about playing a aggressive advantage ridden game where you just are like, I'm going to look, I don't care. If I find it, you can't vote for me.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the topic.
We will see, but we will be back tomorrow. Also, I never mentioned Rome calls himself the Godson. Like, how have I not just called him the Godson the entire episode now?
The Godson. I like that.
Yeah. Boston Rob was the Godfather. There's got to be a Godson somewhere. So he's the Godson.
I think we found him.
And then on Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern time, I'll be live with Drew from season 45.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So we got two big ones coming up here. Bradley.
That is Bradley
tomorrow night, who's always a fun time on the podcast, and he's certainly never going to hold back his opinions. And then Drew, a new guest who I haven't had on before. So I'm really excited for both of these coming up. And now we're into the full swing of it. It's October. What a month.
Best month. Yeah.
Best month. So that's it. Maybe you'll see Will tomorrow night as we sit here and we talk about whatever the heck we're going to talk about on Digging Deeper. Either way, it's going to be a good time. I'm excited to do it. And thank you all so much for listening. Become a patron. Patreon.com/thespecialist. As we said, we're jumping into Guatemala for our top tier patrons for Every Season Matters. We're doing casting episodes. Will and I put out a rock draw today. I have my after show coming out tomorrow. I'm doing Survivor Australia watch. I can't even call it a rewatch because I haven't watched it. I'm in the middle of season Champions versus Contenders 1 from 2018. Survivor Rewind's coming out. We got movies this month. Me and John are doing nothing but horror movies on Tuesdays for our $5 Tuesdays. So that's always a good time. We did Lake Mungo yesterday. What a weird movie that is. If you haven't seen that, it's on Amazon. It's worth it. It's only like 82 minutes long. It's super easy watch. And that's really it. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. Thank you all so much. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Oh my God, Alan thought Drew Christie. No.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.